Turn with me to John chapter 6. We're going to read in a moment, beginning in verse 41. I ask you again, how are you remembering things? I have admitted to you, I find it a bit troubling that I can go from one end of the house to the other end of the house to do something or get something, and when I get there, I wonder what it is I've gone to do or get. That is troubling. I went over to my mother-in-law's house Friday evening and started to tell her something, and she said, "Are you having trouble finding the word?" "Yes, ma'am, I am." Now, I find that a bit troubling. If I go to the store after something, I have learned it best to write a list. And that is not foolproof, because more than once have I gone with a list and did not get what I had gone after. I have realized that I need reminders. And then there are names of people. I do not understand people who can meet someone one time, hear their name one time, and remember that name forever. I don't understand those people. I need a chance to talk to you, to have something to remember you by, to link it to a reminder. I have also learned about myself that if there's anything at home that I need to bring to the office, or anything in the office that I need to take home, that I need to put it in a certain spot. So I check the spot. I've learned that. I learned to check the spot, and if there's something there, I take it. If not, you know, I just go on my merry way. I need reminders. Maybe you need reminders as well. This morning, for more than one reason, I'm afraid, huh? This morning, as we observe the Lord's Supper, communion, we're going to use the elements as reminders of worship. Let's read together John chapter 6, verses 41 to 51. Therefore, the Jews were grumbling about him, about Jesus, because Jesus said, "I am the bread that came down out of heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught of God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Men, we serve now the bread. The bread reminds us to worship Jesus as the substance of life. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The bread reminds us to worship Jesus as the substance of life. Right now. He is the substance of life for every day that we live. He is the substance of life. The only life worth living is the life lived for Jesus. The background of this passage is that the people had been seeking after Jesus after he had fed the 5,000. Now, when you took a little bit of food and fed 5,000 people and you had 12 baskets left over, people would come looking for you too. But there's only one who's done that. And so they were coming after him. And when they caught up to him, Jesus told them not to work for the perishable, but for that which lasts, endures to eternal life. And Jesus is the bread of life. He made that comment. He is the bread of life. That's why they looked at bread as the food to sustain life. That was what sustained them, the bread of life. And he said, I am that. And if you come to him, you will not hunger. We work with and we live next door to, and we pass people every day that are just existing. They're not living. They're just existing because they don't know Jesus. Because he is the one. And we pass by and live next door to and work with and all these things. People who have this deep inside hunger in their lives. They want something. They're looking for something, and that something is a someone, Jesus Christ. Well, when all this had happened and they heard them, they misunderstood. And so they began asking him about Moses and the manna. They were Jewish people. They understood all that about the manna, how God had provided that. And they understood that manna is what sustained them. And it represented life to them. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the source of life. He is life. He gives life and sustains life. Are you worshiping Jesus this morning as the substance of life? If you watch any of the cooking shows, they've gone from how to cook something to some crazy bunch of shows. The one I'm thinking of is Man versus Food. You've probably seen that. It's where the restaurants around the country have this special that if you can eat whatever their special is, then you get it free. Now, let me tell you, you better be hungry. I remember one show where there was the hamburger. And it was humongous. The amount of meat was sickening. But the meat is the hamburger. It's the substance of the sandwich. When you go in to order a hamburger, you don't order condiments and lettuce and the bread. You order the meat. And that's what Jesus is saying, that I am the thing that is life. And without Jesus, life is just existence. So are you worshiping Jesus this morning as the substance of life? What is the substance of your life? Is it your family? Family is important, but is it the substance of your life? Is it your work? Work is important, but is it the substance of your life? Maybe it's your possessions or your hobbies. Or is it Jesus? Are you worshiping Jesus this morning as the substance of your life? In My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers gave a warning which needs to be reiterated, in that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in will choke all that God puts in. We are never free from the recurring tides of this encroachment. If it does not come on the line of clothes and food, it will come on the line of money or lack of money, of friends or lack of friends, or on the line of difficult circumstances. It is one steady encroachment all the time. And unless we allow the Spirit of God to raise up the standard against it, these things will come in like a flood. Take no thought for your life. Be careful about one thing only, says our Lord, your relationship to me. Common sense shouts loud and says, that is absurd. I must consider how I'm going to live. I must consider what I'm about to eat and drink. Jesus says you must not. Beware of allowing the thought that this statement is made by one who does not understand our particular circumstances. Jesus Christ knows our circumstances better than we do. And he says we must not think about these things so as to make them the one concern of our life. Whenever there is competition, be sure that you put your relationship to God first. Are you putting God first? Are you putting him first ahead of work or ahead of family or ahead of hobbies or ahead of possessions? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your time? How do you spend your energy? When you think about time and energy, that's life. When a schedule or a conflict of commitment arises, what takes precedence? Jesus is the substance of life. And that is a reminder for us to worship. I want to read, and I hope you have kept your Bibles open. We're going to read John 56, 52. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." Let us serve the cup now, men. The cup reminds us to worship Jesus as the giver of eternal life. In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The cup reminds us to worship Jesus as the giver of eternal life. Jesus is the only source of life eternal. People misunderstood. They were taking his statements literally, and they began arguing among themselves, "How can he give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said, if you don't take his flesh and blood into yourself, if you do not see him for who he truly is, and you do not believe in him, you don't have eternal life. And it's not just I think he's that. It's believing is when you're willing to commit everything about yourself to him, to following him. This cup is the new covenant, Jesus said, in my blood. The old covenant was about keeping the law. It was about your performance. The new covenant is about grace and it's about the sacrifice of Christ. But we have to completely identify with him to have that new covenant life. And that's life eternal. It's not the eating and drinking of the communion elements that make up the new covenant. It is the seeing and believing and following of Christ that makes up the new covenant. That is what the new covenant is all about. It is the abiding in Christ and he in you that gives eternal life and forgiveness and wholeness and newness. You've probably heard this as well. I have heard more than one person say, "He is so nice," or "She is so cute, I could just eat them up." Now, do you think that I thought those people meant anything other than I just can't get enough of them? And that is how we are to look at Jesus. I just can't get enough of him. Real worship happens when you sink your teeth into Jesus. Is that what your life is about? Knowing and loving Jesus, sinking your teeth into him? Would you say of Jesus, "I can't get enough of him"? In a George Barna report, there was a discrepancy found over the spiritual health of church members. Barna reports that we pastor types believe 70% of the adults in church consider their faith in God to be the highest priority in their life. But when similar questions were asked of those who attend church, Barna discovered that only one out of every seven adults, 15%, placed their faith in God as the top priority in their life. Only 15%. Maybe that's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer was getting at in The Cost of Discipleship when he talked about cheap grace. Cheap grace is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance, baptism without church discipline, communion without confession, absolution without personal confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ living and incarnate. Costly grace is the treasure hidden in the field. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow Jesus. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus Christ. So how important is Jesus to you? How important is Jesus to you this day? So how are you at remembering? We gathered to worship, to meet with God, have you? Have you met with Him this morning? When we began this service, did you begin to worship, or were you just kind of going through the motions? When we began to take communion, were you really worshiping, or were you just doing what was expected of you? You took a little piece of bread, unleavened bread. Is Jesus the bread the substance of your life? Then you took a cup, a little juice. Have you seen Jesus? Have you taken Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you following Him? Do you have eternal life? Do you have eternal life? This morning, be reminded to worship. Is He the substance of your life? Do you have eternal life because you have believed, committed, and you are following Him? If not, then Jack and I will be here. We would like to talk to you. If there's something maybe you don't understand, if there's something going on in your heart and life as you prayed and said, Lord, search my heart, if there's something going on that you need to talk about or just need to come and pray, feel free.